Michael's been gone for about 2 days now. He's not answering his phone. It's most likely dead. He left on Friday after a fight. We were arguing about whether or not he could go to a party after the big game. I don't know. He's been running with a new crowd lately, and he's just a different kid. He's angry and distant. And no matter how hard we try, he is just not willing to speak to his mother and I. You know, Pastor's been starting a new series about prayer, and frankly, I just have my doubts. Oh, I've been praying the way that he's taught me to pray, but as you can see, the situation is just getting worse. I mean, doesn't God understand that we're losing him? You know, I'm his dad. I should be able to figure this out. But instead, my heart is breaking. I cry out and I ask God for answers, and they don't come. I wonder why things have to continue to go this way. It's as if he's not even listening. I say to you, God, are you listening? This is my son. I need your help. You know, I know that I haven't talked to you as much as I should have in the past, and I haven't prayed as much as I should, but he's my Jericho. And please, God, I don't want to lose him. I don't want to lose hope.
So far today, I have given 3 baths, none for myself. I've made 3 breakfasts for 3 children, none for myself, unless you count coffee as a food, in which case I've been fed. I've done 4 loads of laundry, broken up 2 fights, and am currently cleaning Play-Doh out of our new carpet. It's a glamorous life. Pastor Wayne started a new sermon series last Sunday. It's a prayer challenge, and it's a 40-day prayer challenge. 40-day prayer challenge. And what I want to know is how in the middle of carpooling and cooking dinner and doing laundry and cleaning Play-Doh out of carpet, am I supposed to find time to talk to my Heavenly Father? I mean, most days around here resemble an episode of Survivor Man, so what I want to know is, where am I going to find quiet time to come face to face with him? I had a girlfriend a few years ago tell me that if I tried hard enough, I could find God among the Play-Doh. That if I tried hard enough, I could talk to him and hear from him while pulling little green army men from out from under my couch. It's a little far-fetched. God, I need you. We need a financial miracle, Lord, that only you can provide. We're desperate. Your daughter needs you.
Mom, you strike me fish out of the fishbowl again.
I don't know why I even try.
So, guess you got a call for an interview. Yep, me. And it's tomorrow. This is the job of my dreams. Okay, I know what you're about to tell me. I can't count my chickens I can't put the cart in front of the, whatever. Ever since Pastor Wayne has been talking about prayer, I've been so excited. I decided I had to dive right in. And I'll tell you something, my life has never looked so good. Now, nothing is perfect, but my outlook has changed. My life is beautiful. You know, I'm a walking, praying machine, and the best part of it all is that I can feel God moving in me and through me. Father, thank you. Thank you for caring about my life. Thank you for intervening on my behalf, even for the smallest requests. God, I'm so grateful that you're teaching me to have increased faith through prayer. And I love waking up without fear, and I love knowing that your perfect plan is already in action. I never have such peace like when I'm talking with you and praying to you. God, you're my El Shaddai. You tell me in your word, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God, I know your plans for me are good, and I trust you.
Praise the Lord. Come on, let's show our appreciation for them a little bit better than that. I told the first service, that's pastor speak, for my hands are full. Please give me a moment. A few weeks ago, I was coming home from lunch after church on a Sunday. I had my 8-year-old son and my 10-year-old daughter with me. And being the godly man that I am, I had the Colts game on the radio. And as I was listening intently to the play-by-play, my concentration was broken when my son exclaimed, Dad, it's more fun for us to watch the game on TV because we don't speak football. Now, perhaps there are some of you that feel that way when it comes to our 40-day prayer challenge. You want to pray. You believe that it's important. You want to be a night and day praying machine like you saw from our young sister here this morning. But when it comes to the actual practice of prayer, you're just not always sure what it is you're supposed to say or do. I mean, maybe you're new in your walk with the Lord, and the only prayer you've ever really seriously prayed is the one that you prayed to give your heart to Jesus. Someone led you in that prayer and told you what to say, and you repented of your sins, and that's an important prayer, and that's great. Maybe that's really the only serious prayer you've ever really said. On the other hand, maybe you're here today and you gave your heart to the Lord a long time ago, and it's not that you've never prayed, but it's just that, you know, you'd say, if I were honest, I've just never really made daily prayer a serious practice, a consistent practice in my life. Or whatever the reason, perhaps you find the practice of prayer frustrating, like the first two we saw on our skit this morning. Maybe it's because you don't speak football. You don't feel as though you know the language of prayer or understand the Christian catchphrases or the jargon or the Christianese that you've heard spoken in prayer by others. And perhaps you can identify with the mom that we heard this morning. You may feel as though your attempts at finding time to pray every day are just an exercise in futility because I'm so busy and there's so much stuff. Why do I even try? Am I doing this right? Why is it so hard? Why am I not seeing any results? Well, I've got good news for you this morning. This is a good news message. You're going to hear me say that a lot. So you should be glad you came to church because it's Good News Sunday at Grace Assembly of God. All right? The good news is you are not alone. The enemy wants to lie to you and tell you that you're all by yourself, that you're the only one in the room that's struggling with the practice of prayer, but that's not true. Many a believer in Jesus Christ, going all the way back to the first 12 disciples, has struggled with the practice of prayer. So I don't want anyone to feel embarrassed here this morning. If you're thinking to yourself, you know what, I'm a Christian and I've been saved a while now and it really seems like that I should know how to pray, but if you were to ask me pointedly and if I were to be honest, I would probably really need to say, you know what, I'm not sure that I do really. Does that mean there's something wrong with me? Does that mean that I'm not saved? Well, let's address that concern by looking in the Word of God, starting in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It's in your notes. It'll also be on the screen. The scripture says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Now, I have a feeling that even though one disciple made the request to Jesus, I think they all wanted to know. Right? I mean, I can just hear the conversation amongst the disciples. I'm not going to ask him, you ask him. I'm not going to ask him, you ask him. Oh boy, Peter, you ask him. You've always got something to say, right? From this verse, we know that the disciples of Jesus had observed that prayer was a priority and a regular practice in Jesus' life. Amen? They also knew that this was true of John the Baptist. That's the John that Jesus was speaking of here. And apparently, John had taught his students, his disciples, he had taught them how to pray, but it seems as though that these students of Jesus, they weren't getting this prayer thing by osmosis, right? right? They just weren't getting it. They had some gaps in their understanding. Perhaps they didn't know why Jesus prayed the way he did. Perhaps they didn't know what pattern he followed, if he followed any pattern at all when he prayed. Perhaps they didn't understand why he chose certain words or phrases, or what those words or phrases even meant. Can you identify with the disciples this morning? Nevertheless, I suspect that they had figured out at least one thing, and that was this. They had seen the regular practice of prayer in Jesus' life, and they had seen the miraculous power that he had demonstrated. And I think they had at least figured out that those two things went together. The prayer and the power go together. And so they humbled themselves, they took a risk of looking stupid, and they said, Lord, we need you to teach us how to pray. So I have more good news for you this morning. See, I told you. Jesus did not respond to this request by ridiculing his disciples or finding fault with them. He didn't say, what do you mean, teach us how to pray? Are you stupid? Haven't you been around me long enough? You've heard me pray hundreds of times. What do you mean you don't know how to pray? Come on now, get with the program. No, he didn't respond like that. He didn't respond with annoyance or condescension, right? Instead, he gave his students, his disciples, he gave them instructions that were practical and systematic, and they were super simple. It was something that they all could do. And if you've come to church this morning, my friends, with maybe perhaps saying in your heart, you know, if I'm really going to get anything out of this 40-day prayer challenge, and if I'm really going to make it, I need somebody to teach me how to pray, what to do. Well, I have even more good news. Isn't this great? Good news. And this is the best news of all. We're going to use those same practical, systematic, and simple instructions that Jesus gave to his students to teach you how to pray. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. And that means you, okay? It's something that everyone in this room can do. Now, perhaps I'm stating the obvious, but as a leader and a teacher in your church, the best thing that I can do is teach you how to pray. You see, I could pray for you this morning, and I'd be glad to do so. And if I were to pray for you this morning, you might receive a blessing or an answer from God this morning, and that would be awesome. Amen? But if I teach you how to pray, then I equip you not just to receive a blessing today, but I equip you for a lifetime of blessing and power and victorious living. Amen? The old proverb says, teach a man or give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime. Right? Nowhere is that little gem of wisdom more applicable than in the area of prayer. So let me encourage you this morning that I believe that this message is important and it's applicable to everyone that's come, from the newest believer to the most seasoned saint. And as I get into the specifics here in a moment, we're going to get to that quickly. I can understand how some of you who are seasoned prayer warriors, you might start to think, you know what, Jeff, this is just too simple. I am far beyond this point, far beyond this teaching in my prayer life. And you know what? I understand. And if that's you this morning, let me just tell you, soldier on, prayer warrior. All right? And I'm not making fun of you. I mean that. Soldier on, prayer warrior, because we need you in our body. And you just keep doing what you've been doing. But I do want to remind you, those of you who are seasoned prayer saints, that sometimes it's good to review the fundamentals. Amen? The old famous football coach, I say old, I guess he's like dead, so that's really old, but Vince Lombardi, famous football coach, right? He famously gathered his players around, and these were championship players, right? They had won championships, been there, done that. He gathered them together, and he said, gentlemen, this is a football. Now, why would he say such a thing to these seasoned veteran football players who already had won championships? Because he knew that once you've been a pro at something for so long and you've been so consumed with the little nuances of the game that it's easy to lose sight of the fundamentals. Get the ball across the goal, right? And once we've been Christians for a while and prayer warriors for a while, sometimes it's easy to get lost in the nuances of things and forget the basic fundamentals of prayer. Are you with me this morning? So I believe this message is for everyone. So when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, he began by saying these words in Luke chapter 11, verse 2. He said, when you pray, say. Now Jesus understood the question the disciples were asking and the sort of answer they needed. Jesus did not launch into a dissertation about the deep mysteries of prayer and the soteriological and the philosophical and the epistemological implications of prayer on the Christian's life. No, that's a great discussion, but he didn't give them that, right? Because that's not what they needed. They said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And so he gave them the answer that they needed, a simple and practical and systematic set of instructions on how to pray. Amen? Now, these instructions are found both in Luke chapter 11 and in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look in Matthew chapter 6 for our purposes this morning. And this prayer has commonly been referred to as the Lord's Prayer. Perhaps you learned it as a child. We're going to recite it together this morning. If you don't mind, it's in your notes and it'll also be on the screen. Would you say it with me? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to give you a practical way to pray according to these guidelines that Jesus gave us here in Matthew 6. But just before I do that, I want to explain to you what this prayer is not, okay? First of all, this prayer is not a program. While it is systematic, it's not a program because God is not a computer to be programmed. God is not your new Ford Focus. God is not Siri. I know that you can climb into your Ford Focus and you can give it certain voice commands that it will recognize and it will play your favorite song. Right? I know that you can get out your iPhone and you can say, Siri, give me directions to Papa John's, and it will give you directions. It will probably give you directions to your Grandpa John's, but it will give you directions. That was for you Apple people. That was completely free. Couldn't resist. But prayer is not a program. It's not a program where you issue the commands using just the right words and get exactly the results that you want. Amen? The second thing this prayer is it's not a magic formula. This prayer is not an incantation, a mantra, or a magic spell. Those who deal in witchcraft recite certain words in the hope of manipulating, coercing, or commanding supernatural forces. And while God is supernatural, he cannot be manipulated, coerced, or commanded. There is no magical or mystical quality to these words and phrases that will enable us to get God to do exactly what we want him to do. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. And thirdly, what this prayer is it's not a strict script that we must follow word for word every time that we pray. Now, there's nothing wrong with reciting a scripted prayer. We do that together here at Grace from time to time, right? There's value in everybody praying together the same thing. But we know that these words, these exact words, it wasn't Jesus' intention that we use these exact words every time we pray. You say, now, well, wait a minute, Jeff. Didn't Jesus say, when you pray, say? Yes, he did. But we have other prayers recorded in the Bible from Jesus and also from the disciples that don't use these exact words, right? So we can be confident to know that when Jesus gave us these instructions, when you pray, say, he was giving us a model, an example, or a template, and not a strict script that we were supposed to pray word for word every single time. Are you with me? All right. Here's what prayer is, folks. Prayer is communication with God. That's what it is. Prayer is communication with God. And if you've ever one time in your life, at least once in your life, had to communicate with some other person or some other group of people, then you know how you communicate matters a lot, right? There are right ways and wrong ways, right, ladies? There are effective ways to communicate and there are ineffective ways. There are ways that are offensive and there are ways that are inoffensive. Communication can be respectful or disrespectful, sensible or nonsense. It can be sincere or insincere, heartfelt or apathetic. It can be powerful or impotent. Are you getting the picture this morning? So when you pray, you are communicating with the great I Am that we sang about this morning, and he is not a machine, and he's not the force of Star Wars. He is a person. As Pastor said, it's not an it, it's a who, right? Okay? So wouldn't you agree that it's important to communicate with the great I Am properly and effectively and respectfully and sensibly and sincerely and powerfully in a way that does not offend the Holy Spirit? So today we're going to give you a model taken straight from Scripture, straight from these instructions of Jesus that will equip you to pray in that way. How many of you think that'd be a good idea? Praise God. So to make this something that you can remember easily, I'm trying to move along here, got a lot to say, all right? I've divided the Lord's Prayer into seven sections, and I've given each one a name that starts with the letter P, as in prayer. If this were Sesame Street, this message is brought to you by the letter P, okay? Right. Now, there's nothing special or divinely inspired about these P words. I just picked them out to make it easier to remember, all right? So here we go. Number one, The first prayer is the prayer of praise. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We should begin our prayer by acknowledging our special relationship with God. He is our heavenly Father, right? And when we call him Father, we acknowledge his love for us as his children, while at the same time acknowledging our proper place under his authority. The term Father is both a term of endearment and a term of respect. Amen? We should express our love and our respect and our reverence for God when we pray. So when we worship God, and we do so with praise and with thanksgiving, then we address God properly, and that's the right way to begin. All right? This is how we hallow or regard as holy. That's what hallowed means to regard as holy. This is how we hallow his name. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." Praise and worship and giving thanks should always be a part of our prayer, friends. And it's a great way to start. If you're looking for ways to praise God or things that you ought to be thankful for, the Psalms are a great place to look. Psalm 136 and 145 are a couple of my favorites, but there are 150 of them, and they're all good. All right? So just open your Bible. It's the biggest book. It's right there in the middle, and you'll find something that's worthy to give thanks to God for. You know, if you're looking for something to be thankful for, you think life is tough, and I know sometimes it is. The Scripture says that you can thank God for any good thing in your life. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. My friends, think of one good thing, any good thing that you have in your life, anything at all, and you can give thanks to God for it because the Bible assures us it came from him. And that's the prayer of praise. Number two is the prayer of providence. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, providence simply means foresight or care or guidance. And here is where we pray that God's will and God's purposes would be accomplished in our world. Now, we know that God's will and God's purposes are not always accomplished in our world, right? If they were, Jesus would not have told us to pray this prayer. Are you getting me? So since God's will is not always accomplished on this earth, we are to pray that it would be. I should pray that God's will would be done in my life, in my family, my church, in my friends' lives, in my business, in my school, in my government at all levels, local, state, and national, in my community, and in the nations of the world where the gospel needs to be preached. Pray about everything that God's will would be done. Amen? Now, how do I know what God's will is? Well, I look in his word, of course. That's where I find his will. Now, one thing that's important to understand is that it's okay for us to say, God, this is what I would really like to see happen. This is my will. Jesus did that when he was praying in the garden. He said, Lord, if it's possible, I'd really like to not have to go through this crucifixion thing, right? But he said in Luke 22:42, yet not my will, but yours be done. So it's okay to present my will, but I should always submit to his will when I pray. Amen? 2 Peter 3:9 tells us one of the principal things that's the will of God. And I love this verse. The Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now, if you put a loved one or a friend on one of these cards and you're praying for their salvation, don't wonder whether or not you should pray for that because, you know, I understand it's everybody's decision whether or not they're going to follow Christ, right? And you may think, well, should I really pray for people to be saved because it's up to them? Yes, it is. But the Scripture is clear that it's God's will that everyone be saved. And when we pray, we should pray for God's will to be done, right? So it is entirely appropriate for us in our prayer time to say, God, may your will be done. It's your will for Uncle Joe to be saved. So I pray, God, that Uncle Joe would be saved. Amen? And that's the prayer of providence. Number three, I'm going fast. Are you still with me? The prayer of petition or the prayer of provision. Give us this day our daily bread. As Pastor explained during the offering time, this is where we present our requests, our needs to God, our petitions to the Lord, and we say, Lord, give me what I need, right? Amen? This is also where we can pray a prayer of intercession for others, and we can bring the needs of others before the Lord on their behalf. Philippians 4:6 explains how we should do this. Do not be anxious, don't worry about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, the reason we present a request to God is not because he's lacking in information, right? It's not like we need to fill out a requisition in triplicate and submit it to, you know, the Heavenly Father, and he looks at that and says, oh, I didn't know he needed that. Well, let's go ahead and fill that one, right? It's not how it works. God is not lacking in the information. In fact, the Bible says God knows what you need before you even ask. So you may say, well, then why even ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. In the asking, we demonstrate two character qualities that are essential to pleasing God and seeing Him move in our lives. And those two character qualities are faith and humility. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. When we present our request to God, we are actively demonstrating our faith in Him, and thus that's pleasing to Him. Amen? And in James chapter 4, it says something that you read in your devotionals this week, if you've been reading those, and this is fascinating and powerful. It says, you do not have because you do not ask God. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. You know, sometimes we're tempted to think with some of the smaller things, you know what, I'm not going to ask God for that because that's just kind of a trivial thing and I can take care of that myself. While that seems noble, it might be pride in disguise. And God gives favor to the humble, but He opposes the proud. God values humility, my friends. Just go read the story of Ahab in the Bible, one of the most wicked kings in the Old Testament. God had pronounced judgment on him, but because he humbled himself, God changed his mind. So God values humility. And when we ask God, when we pray this prayer of petition, we humble ourselves before God and say, God, I need your help in every area of my life. Are you with me this morning? And that's the prayer of petition. Number four is the prayer of penitence. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, I know that penitence is a $10 word, but I needed a synonym for repentance that started with the letter P, so I went to thesaurus.com and this is what I got. So there you go. Now, you may have heard another translation of the Lord's Prayer say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, right? This is where we confess our sins to God and ask for forgiveness. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute, Jeff. I gave my heart to Jesus and I prayed a prayer of repentance. I said, you know, Lord, I give you my life. I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. Haven't I already done that? Haven't I already prayed the prayer of repentance? Well, yes, you did. But if you're familiar with the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and I don't have time to go into that this morning, but it teaches us a very important lesson as Jesus was instructing Peter on the whole foot washing bit, right? As we walk through our daily lives, we pick stuff up, right? We pick up some gunk just in living our daily lives. So day by day, we don't need a whole other bath. We don't have to get saved again every time we pray. But we do need to confess and repent so we can have the gunk washed off our feet, because we pick that stuff up just by living in this world. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That verse was written to followers of Jesus, not to unbelievers, okay? So it's our responsibility to live a life of daily repentance. This should be a part of our daily prayer time. Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Repentance and forgiveness need to be a part of our daily prayer. But not only are we to confess our own sins and ask for forgiveness, but we are to openly express before God in prayer our forgiveness of those who have sinned against us. Okay? Amen? Because Jesus said right after the Lord's Prayer, those two things go together. In Matthew 6:14, He says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't, He won't. Right? So it may seem strange without the person standing there, but when you pray during this prayer of penitence, you should say, Lord, so-and-so offended me today and it really hurt my feelings, but you know what? I forgive them and I leave that in your hands. I leave judgment in your hands because you've been merciful to me. Amen? And that's the prayer of penitence. Number five. Everybody still with me? Number five is the prayer of protection. Do not lead us into temptation. Now that is a fascinating statement. Why would Jesus tell us to pray that? And I got a whole other lesson. I taught the teens in Worldview and I could spend 45 minutes talking just about this and it would change the way you look at the Lord's Prayer, but I can't do that this morning. So I know that that's frustrating to you. Sorry, you can see me afterwards. But okay, this is where we ask God to protect us from the deception of the enemy. We ask God to protect us from the traps that the enemy sets that lead us into sin. Proverbs 1:17 is interesting. It says, it does no good to spread a net within the sight of any bird. Meaning that if we can see the trap, we can avoid it, right? John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What a great promise, amen? That means that I can pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation, and He will show my way before me. He will reveal the schemes of the enemy. He will make sure that I am not deceived, either self-deceived or deceived by the enemy, right? He will give me the light that I need so that I don't have to fall into the traps the enemy lays for me. Amen? Lead me not into temptation. It's the prayer of protection. And number 6 goes right along with it. It's the prayer of power. Deliver us from the evil one. And I want to spend a moment on this, if I may, okay? Deliver us from the evil one. This is where we engage in spiritual warfare. Have you heard that term used before, spiritual warfare? This is where we enforce the law of the Spirit. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. The Bible tells us that the devil has a kingdom, right? And that kingdom has a structure, and we don't have time to go into all that, but there are principalities and powers and rulers in heavenly places, right? In an unseen realm. And the Bible also makes it clear to us that we are in a battle with these spiritual forces of evil, right? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against these evil forces that we cannot see. Is everybody with me so far? Right? We're fighting against them. Now, through Jesus Christ, God has established a law of the Spirit that limits the enemy's power. Through Jesus Christ, God has established a law of the Spirit that limits the enemy's power. How do I know that? Romans 8:2. Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So before you were under a law that bound you to sin and death, but through Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, there is now a new law of the Spirit that supersedes that law of sin and death. And that's the law that we live under now. Amen? Now it's up to you, my friends, to enforce the law of the Spirit, because these spiritual rulers, these principalities and powers I was talking about, they will do whatever they can get away with. Jesus explained it this way in Matthew 18:18. I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. So in prayer, we use the authority of Jesus' name to enforce the law of the Spirit to forbid the enemy's work in our lives. Let me give you a simple illustration, okay? Out here on US 31, right in front of the church, there's a sign, and it says, speed limit, 45 miles per hour. That sign is there because a legislature, either local or at the state level, I'm not sure which, passed a law that said, this is as fast as you are allowed to travel on this stretch of highway, right? Now, many a driver drives down that stretch of highway much faster than 45 miles per hour. Please don't raise your hand or elbow your spouse. And they will continue to exceed the speed limit because they can and because they want to. Until somebody with a badge and a uniform and a gun and a book of citations pulls them over and writes them a speeding ticket, right? And what that speeding ticket does is it brings judgment upon their actions and forces them to obey the law. Are you with me? Now, that speed limit sign is the law of the Spirit. It's God's word. And the legislature is God, the one who established it. And the speeders are our spiritual enemies. And guess what? You are the police officer. And the only reason you have any authority is because it was given to you from a higher authority, of course. But nevertheless, my friends, it is your job to enforce the law of the Spirit. And if you don't do that in prayer, the lawbreakers will continue to do whatever they want in your life, whatever you let them get away with. So we enforce the law of the Spirit. Deliver us from the evil one. It's the prayer of power. And finally this. I'm going to bring this thing in for a landing, okay? It's the prayer of proclamation. For yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen. We end our prayer the way that we began it, by proclaiming the authority and the glory and the power of God. We began with worship and thanksgiving, and we end with that as well. Now listen, God does not need you to remind him of who he is or how great he is. Many atheists complain about this. They say that God is like this supreme narcissist who needs to have his ego stroked at all times. Now that view is a misunderstanding of the character of God and the purpose of prayer. We make these proclamations for 3 very important reasons. Number 1, we do it to strengthen our own faith. When we proclaim God's glory and his power, it reminds us of who God is, and it renews our minds to think properly about God and our circumstances. Number 2, in the case of public prayer, proclamation is a witness and it's an encouragement to others. And number 3, we have these proclamations, we make them in prayer to enforce the law of the Spirit, like we just talked about. My friends, God isn't the only one listening to your prayers. That's why you need to say them out loud, because you can't think the devil into submission. He can't hear you. You need to open your mouth and declare the law of the Spirit and say, the word of God says, touch not my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Amen? Enforce the law of the Spirit. Now let me give you a real, let's see if I have time for this. real quick, okay? As a quick but important aside, I want you to notice that Jesus included the word amen at the conclusion of his prayer. First service didn't get this, so you should feel special, all right? We often end our prayers by saying amen, don't we? Do you ever wonder why? Now, you may have heard it explained that amen means so be it, that it's a word of agreement, and it is. But did you know that the word amen is the same word translated verily or truly, or I tell you the truth in the Gospels when Jesus is speaking? When Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he was saying, amen, amen, I say unto you. Amen is a sign of attesting to the truth of what has been said or what is about to be said. It's kind of like an oath that you would take when you're testifying in court. So my friends, when you end your prayer with amen, you are attesting that everything you've said in your prayer is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That is why we should never say amen flippantly. And it's why it's very important that we pray according to God's word, because God's word is true. My friends, we should never play games when we pray. Whatever you do, always be truthful and honest with God when you pray. It would be better to be silent than to lie to God and seal it with an oath by saying amen. Just ask Ananias and Sapphira. Let that sink in for a moment. All right, let's wrap this up. Now, if you've received the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and if you're sitting there wondering, okay, when do I get to pray in the Holy Ghost with these seven P's or whatever, anywhere you want, okay? You can pray in the Holy Spirit, any P, all P, one P, whatever you want to do, okay? Any one of them, it's fine, okay? If you've been given a prayer language, you pray in the Spirit as much as you want. Paul said, I'll pray with the understanding and with the Spirit both, right? So let's do a quick review. The seven P's of the Lord's Prayer, and that's a tongue twister, are praise, providence, petition, protection, power, and proclamation. And Jesus, in his limitless wisdom, has given us a template for prayer that is so simple, my friends. Anyone can do it. It is attainable by everyone in this room. You don't have to have the entire Bible memorized. You don't have to know a bunch of Christianese, and it doesn't have to take forever. In fact, my friends, you can have an effective, powerful, biblical prayer time in 7 minutes. If you would just spend 60 seconds on each one of these P's, you can have an effective prayer time in 7 minutes. And I know that sounds like an infomercial, you know?
This is 15 minutes a day. Use the Abercizer and you'll look like me.
No, I won't. But this prayer thing actually works. 7 minutes a day, that's all you need. If you're thinking you're too busy to pray, I have work, I have family, I have kids, like the mom that we saw portrayed in the skit. Let me give you this is my parting shot. Is everybody ready? The United States Bureau of Labor Statistics says that the average working American aged 25 to 54 with children spends 8.8 hours a day working, 7.7 hours a day sleeping, 2.6 hours a day on sports and leisure, 1.2 hours a day caring for others, 1.1 hours a day eating, an hour a day on household activities, and 1.6 hours a day doing whatever. So if we do the math and add up the sports, leisure, and whatever, we spend over 4 hours a day on whatever. So if we have 4 hours a day to spend on whatever, we've got 7 minutes to pray. I'm provoking you now. Amen? If I have time to tweet, I have time to pray. And I tweet every day. If I have time to put pictures of my dog and its new Christmas sweater on Instagram, I have 7 minutes to pray. Amen? I thank you so much for your attention this morning. I hope that I've equipped you with a model that will allow you to pray every day. God bless you and keep you.
Stand with me, if you would. In the 40-day prayer challenge, our goal is to teach you how to pray. By the way, that wasn't a dismissal. We're not done yet. Because how many know far too often we're guilty of talking about praying, but we don't ever pray? And so one thing we want to do, especially today, is take what we've just learned and do it. Now, we're past time because, you know, at a certain time we just check out. But the reality is we can do this. So for the next, I'm going to do 30 seconds at a time, each of these areas of prayer, and they're going to appear on the screen. I want you to join me in using Jesus' model of prayer as a prayer time. Now, some of you are thinking, man, 7 minutes a day. Well, guess what? Some people have turned the Lord's Prayer into hours a day. There's not a time limit on this. But if you're getting started, how many know the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step? You're not going to pray like Pray and Hide and all these famous people who are famous prayers tomorrow. But you know what? You can start growing in prayer. And let me just go ahead and say this again. If you'll pray, it will affect every other area of your life. I'm going to promise you this. This is why this is so strategic. If you will do this, your life will change. Your relationships will change. Your perspective will change. Your heart will change. Your attitude will change. Your family will change. Your neighborhood will begin to change. Eventually, your world will begin to change. I believe that with all of my heart, if we will. Now, y'all need to recognize that the enemy fights us very hard. He fights you very hard, because if you get this, it's over for him. If we get this, he knows, they found the secret weapon. They found the red button. This is the killer. So guess what? This is huge. Would you join me as we pray? For the next 3.5 minutes, I've got my timer set up here on my Apple iPhone. And all we're trying to do is to model how we're praying. When you pray, say. So would you join with me? We're going to go through each one. We're going to begin with the prayer of praise. Lift your voice. God, thank you so much. God, we bless you for every good thing that you have given to us. God, you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Thank you for my life. Thank you for my family, God. Thank you for my home. Thank you for where I live. Thank you for every good thing that I have in my life. God, you have been good to me, and I praise you today as my Heavenly Father. Thank you for calling me to be a part of your family. Now we pray the prayer of providence. God, we pray that your kingdom will come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, we pray that you would show us what your will is. We pray, God, that you would reveal your will to us. May we hear the voice of God guiding and directing us. We pray that you would show us the future, and God, show us the next step in our lives so that we can have your will in our lives in the name of Jesus. We pray the prayer of petition. God, we pray because you ask us to pray to give us our daily bread. Lord, we ask for our Jericho. We ask for that thing that we promise, that we've circled, that we're believing you to bring to pass. We ask you, O God, to provide in supernatural ways. Just as you brought Jericho down, just as you've done so many good things, God, we pray for miraculous provision and healing and anointing and strength and direction from the Holy Spirit. God, give us this day our daily bread. Now we pray the prayer of penitence. God, search our hearts. Search our spirits. God, if there's anything in our hearts that are unholy and ungodly, we pray you forgive us. Holy Spirit, search us. Lord, if there's something in us that's not right, an attitude of anger or bitterness, God, forgive us, we pray. Wash us. And God, today we choose to forgive those who've hurt us. We choose to forgive those who've spoken ill against us. God, we release them today, and we pray a blessing upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. Now the prayer of protection. God, we pray you wouldn't lead us into temptation. God, give us wisdom to know when to go left and when to go right. God, we pray you give us discernment, Lord, in the days that we live, that we'll walk away from things that are bad for us. God, we'll take a left turn when we see it in front of us is destruction. God, we pray you would not lead us into temptation. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, you'd protect us and watch over us by the power of your Spirit. Now the prayer of power. God, in the name of Jesus, deliver us from the evil one. God, deliver us from every evil strategy that has been assigned against us, every evil spirit that is working against my family, against my church, against my life. I break it by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray, oh God, for your anointing to come and break the hand of every devil that's working against me in the name of Jesus Christ. God, deliver us from the strategies of darkness, God, and give freedom in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And now we end with the prayer proclamation. Join me. God, yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever. Amen. God, everything that we prayed, may it bring glory to your name. May our lives, may our words, God, may our actions, may our attitudes bring glory to your name. Bring a smile to your face. Advance your kingdom, God. We pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for what we've heard today, God. We seal it with a holy amen. Even so, so be it, God. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. It really is that simple. Can you do it? Can you do it? Teenagers, can you do it? Absolutely. Can your kids do it? Can a family do it together? Sure. The sky's the limit. The only it's not about how long you do it. It's about just do it and watch God begin to work in your life. Are you with me today? I just want to encourage you. I'm so proud of you for being part of this challenge. If you haven't joined in, just join right in, all right? Because all we're doing is building the habit of prayer. How many know at the end of the 40 days, we still want to pray? We're just trying to help build the habit of prayer. So join in, set a time, right? Pick a place every day. That's your place of prayer. That's your time of prayer. And what's going to happen is you're going to begin to build the habit and you're going to begin to see some pretty amazing things in your life. Do you believe that? If you're not part of a small group, make sure that you are. Be part of your group tonight at 6 o'clock as we grow in prayer, learn about prayer in our small groups. If you're a parent of a teenager, don't know exactly sure where your teenagers are going, meet Pastor Phil, room 110, right through that door. We're calling it Connection Central now. If you're a guest at Grace today, I'd love to meet you personally also in that room. Otherwise, have a great day in the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you very much.